Hello, everybody. This is George Ann Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And it's a blessing to have with us Augusto Perez. Augusto, you can find him online at theappearance.com. And you can write to Augusto Perez at Post Office Box 465, Live Oak, Florida, and the zip code is 32064. And we're going to talk about the sovereignty of God, and I think that's a subject that not many people really understand the gravity, the meaning behind that, the sovereignty of God Almighty. Hi, Augusto.
Hi, George Ann. It's good to be back in my show with you.
Yes. Good to have you back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've had, the Lord's laid this on your heart, and you want to talk about this, right?
Yes, I have been, I was praying the other day, and, you know, all these things that are happening in America and all throughout the world, you know, so many things going on.
Yes.
All kinds of bad news going on, and all of a sudden the Lord laid on my heart, you know, my people are not ready. My people are not prepared for what's about to happen, and they got the wrong concept of me. They have a wrong opinion of me. They don't know a lot of things, and so I really felt like it was necessary to do a teaching or a series of teachings on this very important subject.
Mm-hmm.
The sovereignty of God. When is the Lord in something? When is God in something? Or when is it the devil? Or when is it just fallen human nature, sin, the sinful world?
Yes.
A lot of God's people sometimes don't know how to pray.
That's a very good point.
They don't
point.
Know how to pray, and because they don't understand these things. Many of them pray wrong. I know so many people that, you know, have been taught wrong in their churches.
Yes.
They have been taught that it is God's will for them to be sick.
Oh,
it is
yes.
God's will for them to be so poor they can't even pay their bills.
Yeah.
That it is God's will for a lot of bad, horrible things happening. It is all God's doing.
Well, you know, I
and,
mean,
you know, I want to straighten out a lot of those things today.
Yeah,
because
let me interrupt, please.
Mm-hmm.
I've even heard people say when a child is sodomized,
mm-hmm.
that's God's will. I can't believe that.
No, of course not. You know, how many people, Georgiana, have left Christianity because of this very thing?
Oh, yeah.
Many, many, many men and women have turned their backs on God and Christianity because they were taught that their young child
mm-hmm.
who died, who was killed, it was God's will. That was God's will. God, you know, and you hear this all the time. God probably needed a little angel in heaven, you know, to in his garden, and God took him. No, God did not took him. God did not take a child in his early childhood. God did not take a person in the prime of his life. You know, because he needed somebody up in heaven to entertain him. No, that is heresy. That is totally unbiblical.
Well, that's sick.
It is sick. It is sick.
Oh my gosh!
And you know, this is happening. This is being taught in a lot of churches. Believe it or not, a lot of churches teach this kind of bad theology.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, are in. They believe that.
Oh,
they believe that they are sick. They're dying of cancer, and they lie there in bed blaming God, or worse, saying, you know, it is God's will, and I embrace it. It's God's will. This will sanctify me. This will make me a better Christian. This will make me a better witness, and I do it all for the glory of God. And you see, all that is what it does, Georgiana, is it puts God in a bad light.
Right.
It
right.
misrepresents God as a bad you know, God, you know,
cruel.
God has a problem. with people being happy, a God that does not want us to be happy, a God that is always out after people to make them sick, to make them pay, to punish them, to punish
cruelty.
Us.
Lots of cruelty.
A lot of cruelty, a very cruel God. You know, when I read my Bible, Georgiane, I don't see that kind of God. I know God is a God of judgment and a God of wrath, but not like that. That's not how God deals with his children.
Right.
God does not deal with his children. I mean, Jesus continually gave parables and comparisons of God. He compared God, our Heavenly Father, to human fathers.
Yes.
And many times he said, if your earthly father won't do such and such a thing, how can you even begin to think that your Heavenly Father is going to do that?
Right, that's right.
You know, your earthly father is not going to give you a scorpion if a child comes and asks him for a piece of bread. You know, if you being evil, he told his disciples, if you being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You know how to how to be good to them, how to do right to them. How much more don't you think your Heavenly Father will treat his children right? And and you know, some people say, well, yeah, but God punishes, and God does this when we are not doing right. Yes, God does punish, and God does discipline, but that is a totally different thing when God disciplines his children to God putting a disease or a sickness on them or killing them because they're doing something wrong. That is not how God operates. Now, I need to shed some light on this because people need to understand how this thing works. How this thing works. And if people do not understand, if the people of God do not understand these basic foundations, these basic truths, they will never be able to have a good relationship with God. They will never be able to stand in the coming days that are right ahead of us.
Right.
When people will need to be strong in the Lord, when people some of us may even have to die for our faith. But how are people going to die for a God that is so cruel, you see?
Yeah.
So people have to understand that our God is a good, kind Father. He's a good God. He loves us with all of his heart. He wants what's best for us. And we need to understand why some of these things happen.
Well, you know, Augusto, Yahweh is not like Allah that tells people to go out and blow themselves up.
Well, that's a good point. He is not Allah.
Yeah.
Actually, Georgiane, Allah, the word Allah actually comes from a rock, a black rock, a meteor rock that the Arabs worship.
Yes.
I think the name of it is called Aliyah, Aliyah, or something like that, which Allah is short for Aliyah.
Yeah.
And it's a meteor rock that fell from heaven, and they worship it. It's one of the most sacred sites, in the Arab world. Mm. And so Allah has nothing to do with our God. Some Christians say, well, Allah is the same as Yahweh God. No, it's not.
You're not
the same God.
You're right.
And so we need to understand that whereas the Allah of the Muslims is a very cruel God that loves to see people blown up, loves to see people killed, and you know, and they entered into heaven as a martyr. Our God is not like that. Our God and the gospel of Christian gospel is a gospel of love and a gospel of mercy and grace. And our God is a compassionate, loving God. And so we need to see the difference in this because a lot of Christians don't see God like that.
That's right.
And, this type of, you know, I don't mind God being, you know, when people say God is sovereign and he can do whatever he wants and everything that happens on this earth happens because God wills it. That's not true. Hmm. That is not true, Georgiane.
Yeah.
And, that is totally unbiblical. There's a lot of things that happen on this earth that have nothing to do with God's will. They are not God's will, and they still happen.
That's right.
A young child dying of cancer. It's not God's will, yet it happens. A young person, a young man, a father of a children being killed in the prime of his youth, and then the children being left orphans. That is not God's will.
You're right.
You see? And so many of these things that people call God's will, it is not God's will.
Well, it's just like, you know, so right now, we've got millions of people in our country that are homeless. They've lost their jobs and all of that, and people are saying, well, you know, that's God's will.
That's God's will. I mean, they deserve it. Look, they turn their backs. Well, God don't operate like that.
You're right.
You know? God don't operate like that. Then why does things like that happen, Brother Augusto? Why do things like that happen? Well, in order for people to understand the theology of this and the dynamics of how this thing works, you know, people have to understand that there are two forces working on humanity.
Yes.
One is for good and the other is for evil.
That's right.
People have to understand that there are two kingdoms. The kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of Satan.
Yeah.
And they're totally opposites. One is the kingdom of light. The other is the kingdom of darkness.
Yes.
One is the kingdom, the law of the kingdom is the law of love, and the other is the law of death and murder. Well, Jesus said it. He said, I have come that you might have life.
And isn't it say in Deuteronomy, choose life, not
exactly.
Death. Yes.
Choose life.
Yeah.
And then he lets the people choose between the life, the road of life and blessing, and the road of death and destruction. But it is not your chance. It's not because God destroys the people as much as because when God's people are not under the umbrella and the covering of God, it opens the door for all these demonic forces to come and destroy them.
Yes.
This is much more of what happens than God actually coming down and destroying people because they misbehave.
Yes.
That is not how this thing operates. Now I have seen a lot of people turn their backs on God, and bad stuff starts happening to them. But it is not really that God then comes down from heaven with his giant hand and smashes the people down like flies,
yeah.
Because they are doing bad things. That's not the way this thing works. Now, when people do turn their backs on God and people start committing sins, it opens the doors wide open for the devils and demons and the powers of darkness to come in and really wreak havoc in the lives of people.
That's right.
Put diseases on them, destroy them, take away their wealth, take away their money, kill their family. Well, Jesus said it. The Lord Jesus said it when he was on the earth. He said, I have come that you might have life.
Yes.
He says, but the devil, he says, he is a murderer from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
He is a thief, a murderer, and a liar. Mm-hmm. And he comes to kill and to destroy. This came from the mouth of Yeshua. The devil comes to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life. Now, right there is your basic basis for theology, for the theology that Christians need to ground their theology on. The devil is a bad devil. The God, he's a good God.
Yes.
And we need to have that straight. Otherwise, people are not going to be able to operate on faith. Because how can anybody operate in faith, Georgianne, if they believe that God puts diseases on them, that God kills them, that God takes away their children, that this is all God's will? See, that does not help our faith at all. That does not help us to stand when bad things start happening. Because if we don't have an anchor in our soul, if Christians don't have a strong anchor in their lives that will anchor them throughout whatever may come our way, if we don't have a hope, if we don't have something to hold on to, so we don't sink.
Yes.
A lot of people are not going to make it.
Oh, yes.
They're going to sell out. They're going to eventually, what they're going to say is, well, you know what? If God is such a bad God, I might as well serve the devil. Hmm. if God is going to kill me, going to take away my child, if God is going to take away everything I have just because I'm not what he wants me to be, I'm not going to serve him. And this is what a lot of people are doing.
Oh, yes.
There's a man right now who owns a lot of TV stations, you know?
Yeah.
And he's very well known. If I were to say his name, a lot of people would know who I'm talking about. He was a, you know, he grew up in a Christian home. But when he was smaller, his little sister died of a horrible disease. Mm-hmm. And when he went to church when his parents took him to church, the preacher told him that was God's will, that God had taken her sister, and that was God's will. And so when he heard that, after that, he never wanted to do anything with God. He turned his back on God and wanted nothing to do with God anymore. And now he is an enemy of Christianity. He is fighting toe and nail against the Christian church. And you see, this is the kind of thing that has put a bad light on Christianity and a lot of Christians. And people need to understand the basics and the foundation of how this thing operates. You know, God does not control everything, Georgian. You know, and there might be some people that might get upset at this, but God is sovereign. But it's got to be the definition that the dictionary says of sovereignty. God is not sovereign in the sense that he controls every single detail that happens in planet Earth.
I know that.
You see?
Yeah.
But some people, that's what they believe.
They think he's a micromanager.
Yeah, that we are all puppets.
Yeah.
And that every single thing that happens, you know, I have heard this preached from the pulpit, Jan.
Oh, my God.
I have heard this comment made by preachers.
Yeah.
And they've said something like this. Nothing happens on the earth without God's will.
Well,
nothing happens on earth without God's will.
Okay, I've got a question, Augusto. When Jesus was in the wilderness and Satan said, bow down to me and, you know, I will give you all these kingdoms.
Right.
You know, Jesus did not refute that all the kingdoms of the earth belong to Satan.
That's right.
So it's men that are, and Satan rules that, doesn't he?
Satan rules it.
Okay, doesn't God allow him to do that between now and the, you know, between forever, I guess, you know, in the past, until the time that the second coming of Christ?
Absolutely. You see, because it's not in the sense that God allows it, that, you know, that, and let me explain that, because that confuses a lot of people.
Me too. It confuses me.
You know, when people say God allows it, it's like, you know, the devil goes to Jesus or to God and says, okay, I'm going to kill so-and-so, and God says, all right, go ahead, do it. You know, that's not what that means.
Okay.
That God allows it. and it's actually not a good description of what's happening, of what goes on. People need to understand a couple of things. First of all, there are laws in the spirit realm. There are laws in the universe.
Yes.
That God set in place.
Yes.
That cannot be changed, not even by God himself. He could, because he's sovereign and he's powerful, but he will not. Because God will abide by the laws that he himself set in motion.
Yes.
He will submit to those laws. And there are all kinds of laws. There are physical laws. There are cosmic laws that rule the celestial bodies. There are physical laws, like the law of gravity,
right,
that govern our physical world. And there are spiritual laws that God set in place.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has to abide by those laws, including God himself. The angels have to abide by those laws. And devils, demons, have to abide by those laws, okay? And so there are certain things that govern everything that happens. For example, when it rains, when that's a law taking effect.
Yes. Yeah.
When a plane falls to the ground and people die, that is the law of gravity operating. The plane malfunctions. One of the engines of a plane malfunctions, okay? And the plane comes down to earth and crashes. People immediately say, well, that was God's will. But it has nothing to do with God's will. Nothing.
Well, you know, like the incident that happened 9/11. I don't think that was God's will. I think that was a bunch of
evil. That was the evil men and devils, you know, jumping in there and doing this thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is what you hear. You hear a lot of bad theology. You hear about of this, a lot of these things that people do not understand. And when you hear these kind of things, you know, it makes the hair on your back raise, stand on end. And you say, wait a minute, if this is true, then, you know, this contradicts a lot of what the Bible says.
Right.
So somewhere, somebody is not telling the whole truth.
Right.
This doesn't jive. This doesn't flow together. This doesn't agree. It's not in harmony. And so I have learned through the years that everything has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, there's something out of order. There's something out of whack. Theologically, there's something wrong.
Okay, question.
Yeah.
People say, you know, when they mess around with Jerusalem, that God brings judgment on America, like the Hurricane Katrina. I hear that from an awful lot of people, Augusto.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that going on, but that's another topic altogether.
Yeah.
And that's another topic altogether that we would have to dedicate not just one show, but many shows.
Well, good, we will.
But the thing about that is this, Georgianne.
Okay.
First of all, God loves the Jewish people, but God loves also all the other people. God loves the Chinese people. God loves the American people. God even loves the Arab people.
Sure.
Okay? Now, one thing people need to understand is that, see, they keep referring to the Jews as God's chosen people, God's chosen people, God's chosen people. But then who are the Christians, Eugene? Who are we then?
But see, nowhere in Scripture does it say in those words that the Jews are God's chosen people.
Well, they were.
You know,
they were God's chosen people because they were God's reservoir where he poured all the, he brought all the prophets and all his messengers and the judges to the house of Israel to prepare them to, you know, those were his people. That's where.
But Israel is not just Jews.
Of course not. All the people that, the Israelites.
Right.
The Jews, basically the word Jew comes from the tribe of Judah.
Judah, yeah.
There were 12 tribes in Israel. So really when we say Jews, that's not talking about all the Israelites.
Right.
But anyway, to go back to your question, you know, Jesus made a covenant with 12 apostles, 12 disciples that received him.
Mm-hmm.
He made a covenant with his church, the bride that belongs to the Lord, that he has a covenant with, are not the Jews. Now, there can be some Jews in there. There are Jews, but there are also Chinese. There are Arabs. There are Mexicans. There are Cubans. There are Americans. There's people from all the world.
Yes.
Those are the chosen people today. Those are God's chosen people. When you read the New Testament, Georgianne, when anybody reads the New Testament, and you see these words that Paul uses, the Apostle Paul uses, or the Apostle Peter, or any of the other apostles, they say, to the elect.
Yeah.
They're not talking about Jews here.
No.
They're talking about us, Christian, believing,
right,
born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit. That's who they're talking about.
You're right.
Those are the ones that Jesus made a covenant with. That is what is called and termed the bride.
Yes.
The bride of Jesus Christ is what today is his chosen. That's his chosen. The bride is made up of chosen people from all over the world, as spoken by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, chapter 8, where he says, for whom he knew, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Yes.
We are the brethren of the Lord. And whom he predestinated, them he called. Whom he called, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. What can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And then Paul goes on to talk about all the wonderful blessings and the wonderful promises that we have as his bride, as his church. We are God's chosen people today, but you wouldn't believe that by listening to all these people talking about the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews, the Jews.
I know, I know.
It's all about the Jews. Then what happened to us Christians?
Yeah.
We are like a lesser pedigree here, you know? And yet, the Christians is what this is all about.
Yes.
God, when Jesus returns, Georgiana, he's not returning for the Jews. He is returning for his bride.
Yes, that's right. That's what Scripture tells us.
He's returning for his bride, but yet we see no warrants. I mean, this is a theology that is being pushed, is being really preached a lot, and yet there is no biblical foundation for it, because what they're going by is an old covenant that God made with Abraham.
Yes.
They that bless you, I will bless.
Yeah.
Well, but guess who the blessing of Abraham was fulfilled in? In Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yes.
He was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. That is why when people receive the Holy Ghost, they refer to that as the promise of Abraham. The promise of the Father. The Father promised Abraham. See, and a lot of people don't study that.
You're right.
They just take that little scripture from way back there from Abraham, and they don't study the dispensations, they don't study the covenants, and they make it a theology.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, bless God, the Jews are God's chosen people. Well, they were. They were God's chosen people, but today, guess what? God's chosen people is his church, his bride, the elect, that he has elected from all over the world. And there's not just one scripture, Georgian. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of scripture to prove this. You see? So
yes.
You cannot find anywhere in the New Testament, not one scripture that says that the Jews today are God's chosen people.
Right.
Now, that does not mean that God does not love them. Of course he loves them. And of course he has a love for the land of Israel. He loves the land of Israel because that's where Yeshua died. That's where Yeshua came. And so there is an element there of connection with that land. But as far as the chosen people, I hear this all the time. And, it kind of also makes me a bit upset because it relegates the church to a lower level, you know? Like the Christians are nothing. It's the Jews. The Jews are God's chosen people. It's the land of the Jews. That's what God cares about. You see?
Yeah.
And so it makes Christians sound and look like, you know, we are lower here than the Jews. And those Jews out there that they're talking about, they rejected the Messiah. They nailed him to the cross. They would have nothing to do with him. And yet his church, his bride, that is blood washed, is being sanctified, is filled with the Spirit, and they're part of his bride that he's coming back for, we are nothing. You see? And that is just totally unbiblical. Totally unbiblical. And so, we need to understand that. We need to understand these things because otherwise we're going to be messed up big time.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the elect that Jesus referred to, many times Jesus referred to, when he said, shall send his angels for him to gather the elect. You see, if people don't understand who the elect are, they are never going to understand, you know, what. That's why there's so many people messed up with the rapture, the secret pre-tribulation rapture. They have no understanding. They think that scripture that Jesus, where Jesus says that, you know, in Matthew 24, where he says that When the Son of Man comes, he shall send his angels from one end to the earth, of the heavens to the other, to gather his elect from all four corners of the earth.
Yeah.
They referred to that, and they said, that's the Jews.
Yeah.
That is not the Jews, beloved. That is the bride, the elect, God's elect. Those that are blood-washed, mm-hmm. born-again, spirit-filled children of God.
Yeah.
Those are the elect. Read your scriptures. Read the book of Romans. Read the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians. Read the book of Galatians. All those books that Paul starts the letter, he says, to the elect. To the elect. And he's not talking to Jews there. He's talking to Christians. So people need to understand, whenever you see elect in the New Testament, it has to do, and it refers to, blood-bought believers in Christ, the bride. And that is his chosen. That are those that he chose. Jesus said it himself. You did not choose me. I chose you out of the world.
Yes, yes.
You see? So we are chosen, we are called, we are elect, we are predestined by God. What does that make us? The chosen ones. Not the Jewish people out there living in Israel that they still have not received Messiah, they have not received Jesus Christ, and yet you hear all these preachers referring to them as God's chosen people.
Oh, yeah. Well, people say something enough times, it becomes, a belief system.
It becomes truth.
Yeah.
But you see, God is sovereign in a way, but there's many things that happen on the earth that are not God's will. And so, if people submit to whatever is happening in their lives as if it is from God, and they don't resist, it because they believe it is from God.
Yeah.
So that is why a lot of times people just succumb. They die. They die young. They accept everything because they believe it is from God.
Yeah.
And they don't fight it. They don't pray against it because it's from God. How can you fight God's will? You see?
Yeah.
Many people are sick, dying in their beds. Well, this is God's will. It will make me a better Christian. So they don't pray. They don't fight it. They don't believe that God's will is to heal them, that God's will is to make them well, that the atonement has been paid. The atonement sacrifice, the price has been paid at the cross.
Yeah.
You know, people don't understand a lot of these things, Georgianne.
I know.
Because they are so messed up in their theology that you hear all these kinds of preaching going on everywhere, and it just blows me away. There's no understanding of the scriptures. You know, when I read my Bible, I read there in the New Testament that God poured out his wrath upon Jesus Christ at the cross. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says that he who knew no sin,
yes,
is referring to Jesus Christ.
Right.
He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I believe it's verse 20 and 21. So, at the cross, Jesus Christ received the full wrath of God upon his body, his life. He not only carried our sins, he became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because we can never become righteous on our own strength. No matter what anybody does on this earth, we will never be good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. Never will. There is nobody on this earth, Georgianne, that is fit without Jesus Christ, a part of Jesus Christ, is fit to enter the kingdom of heaven. None. Zero. Zilch.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible says it. He says, in the book of Romans, he says, there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none. There's not one person that is considered righteous in the eyes of God, apart from being those that are washed, apart from the Golgotha and the sacrifice of Jesus at the cross. There is not one person. that is fit to enter the kingdom of heaven. So whenever people start talking about stuff like that, you know, and that they have no understanding of what happened at the cross.
Yeah.
They have no understanding of what happened at the cross. And then there's another scripture in Galatians that talks about the fact that Jesus became a curse for us. Became a curse for us at the cross. Because cursed is he that hangs on the cross. So if Jesus became a curse for us, many of these curses that come upon people, there's no way they can come from God. Because Jesus received the full penalty for our sins on his own body. That includes the curses, and that includes the sin, and that includes diseases and all these things. Those things cannot be God putting them on people. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Now, that does not mean it does not happen. People get sick. People get, sometimes experience curses in their lives. People see their loved ones being taken from them,
yes.
Dying an early death.
Yeah.
They see horrible, horrible crimes committed, you know, and people killed, bloodshed, wars. I mean, all these things. Are they God's will? No. They are not God's will. They are the result of a fallen world.
Well, Augusto, isn't it true that I think I may be wrong here, in Deuteronomy, maybe, isn't that where the people didn't want God to rule over them anymore?
Yeah.
And they wanted a king, you know, a stupid king, like the pagans. And then didn't God tell them all the horrible things that would happen to them
sure.
if they did that?
Absolutely.
And we're still suffering because of that today.
That's right.
Call them presidents or prime ministers or whoever. You know, they're still, that is what God was talking about.
See, the thing that people need to understand is that both God and the devil, or demons, okay,
mm-hmm.
cannot do anything unless people cooperate with them.
Yeah.
This is a concept that a lot of people do not comprehend. They don't comprehend it. God cannot do anything, Georgiana, on this earth unless man prays and unless man cooperates. And this is something that is alien to most people. They just cannot grasp that concept. They think that because God is so powerful and he's so, you know, sovereign, he can do whatever he wants at any time he wants, and he doesn't need anybody. Well, I've had preachers tell me that.
Oh, gee.
Yes. I have had preachers tell me that. And, of course, you know, if God is sovereign, he don't need nobody.
Yeah.
Then why do we have to do anything? You know, we just don't have to do anything, and that's why most Christians are not doing anything.
Yeah.
They're just sitting in their homes, you know, and they're just praying that Jesus, you know, comes and takes them away, you know, and they're not praying. They're not going out there and laying hands on folks and praying for them and bringing them the gospel, witnessing, evangelizing. They're not laying hands on the dead people, been raising them from the dead.
Yeah.
They're not feeding the hungry, you know, clothing the naked. This is what we're supposed to be doing. But we're not. And a lot of the reason is because we have wrong theology.
That's a good point. Very
wrong
good
theology.
Point. Yeah.
You know, I hear it all the time. People, you know, and a lot of preachers criticize the Christians for not doing it. But the thing is, a lot of it is laziness.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is the wrong theology. They have been taught that God is sovereign, and if God wanted, he could do all this by himself. So why do I need to pitch in? Why do I need to do any of this, you see? A lot of Christians don't pray because why pray? God is sovereign. You see? They don't do any spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
They don't let God use them because God is sovereign. They don't pray for the sick because, no, bless God is sovereign. If he wanted to heal somebody, he would do it. You see, with that kind of thinking, there's no way anybody's going to get anything from God.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
That's right.
Because God uses people. If God wants to heal someone, I mean, if you pray, he can heal you. If you have faith. Or he can use somebody else to come lay hands on you and pray and people get healed.
Yes.
Or if you need money, God can send somebody, bring somebody to give you a check. But God is not going to rain, you know, millions of dollars from heaven. He's not going to rain $100 bills from heaven.
Right.
Or, you know, or food, you know, although a lot of times I hear preachers say, well, if God wants to feed me, he'll bring ravens from the air. Well, just because he did it for one man, Elijah, don't mean he's going to do it for you. You see, 99.9% of the time, God supplies your need and our needs through other human beings.
That's true. Yes.
God supplies whatever it is we need, whether we need money, whether we need something done, whether we need a healing, a miracle, whatever. Many times God uses other people. Most of the time. And so people need to understand this, and they need to understand God's will. It's not always accomplished on the earth. Everything the bad that happens on earth is not God's will. There's a lot of wars going on. It's not God's will. People getting murdered. It's not God's will.
You're right.
People dying of cancer, of all kinds of diseases. It's not God's will.
And a lot of that cancer comes from what men have done, you know, with the food, chemicals,
yes.
Putting chemicals in our water, our air. We have got a very satanic medical system. A lot of this comes right out of Nazi Germany, for heaven's sakes, and people,
yeah.
They don't see it.
It's just evil men and, you
yes.
know, and sinful men doing bad things one to another.
Mm-hmm.
And now, and
for profit, Augusto, and they're doing it for profit.
For profit.
Yeah.
And they're doing it just out of evil because evil rejoices in seeing bad things happen to people. They just love to see bad things happen to people.
Well, the more illness there is, the more the pharmaceutical industry prospers.
And so, you know, when this type of theology happens, Georgianne, it renders people totally prey
right.
to the devil.
Yeah.
It renders them helpless to defend themselves against the powers of darkness.
That's true.
Because they embrace it. If somebody says, well, God, if you want to put a disease on me, if you want to put cancer on me, Lord, if you feel, Lord, like I need to be sanctified, Lord, I receive it, Lord, put cancer on me. Well, you pray a prayer like that.
Oh, gee.
And you're going to get cancer.
Yeah.
You know? And if people say, well, Lord, if you want to take whatever I have, you know, if you make me poor, if you take all my belongings or my property and you destroy everything, if I need, Lord, to be sanctified, Lord, do it, Lord. You know, I submit to you. Well, people pray prayers like that. Guess what? It's going to happen.
Oh,
but
you're right.
It's not going to be God doing it.
You're right.
It's going to be the devil. He sees the door cracked open, and he's going to go in there.
Yeah.
And he's going to, because he comes to kill and destroy.
That's right.
And that is his purpose. And all he needs is an open door.
And he roves the earth, what, looking for those whom he can devour.
That's it.
Yeah.
And people have no idea that this is the situation. They have no idea, and they are like defenseless. They are left defenseless to all kinds of demonic powers and satanic powers out there.
Yeah.
And so they don't pray. They don't pray against it. They have a bad dream. They have a bad experience in the night, and they say, well, if it's God's will, Lord, I don't want it to happen, but if it is your will, I accept it. Well, it is not God's will. Why do you think he's showing it to you?
Mm-hmm.
You see, and so people need to wake up and understand that all this bad things happening is not God's will. Sometimes God shows things to people in dreams and visions
yeah.
that bad things are going to happen, but it doesn't mean that he wants it to happen. He means these things are going to happen unless we intervene and do some praying, some heavy praying and repenting, then God will step in and stop it.
Yeah, That's true.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And so people say, well, you see, people get visions all the time. Bad things happening. And they say, hey, it's God's will. No. There's a lot of things that happen that is not God's will. There's a lot of things that God reveals in dreams and visions to people, to godly men, that is not his will. These are things that can happen and will happen if nothing is done about it. But the Bible, see, if that was not so, Georgia, why would the Bible say in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven.
Oh, yes.
And I will heal their land.
Yes.
You see? But when that doesn't happen, God does not intervene. God can intervene. God can intervene right now in America. God can intervene, but it's not going to happen unless there's a lot of God's people praying and interceding, and people start repenting of their sin, of their sins, like Nineveh. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Nineveh was an Old Testament, but the principle is the same. The principle is the same. When a nation becomes wicked, when a nation becomes corrupted, God has no choice but to step back and let the powers of darkness do whatever they want to do.
That's true.
It's not because people say he's allowing it to happen. Well, he has no choice. He has no choice. It's not like God's standing in heaven and say, yeah, go ahead, devil, kill. Yeah, go ahead, devil, loot. Yeah, go ahead, devil, destroy. It's not that way. It's that when you hear the term allows, is that he has no choice. He cannot do anything because we have shut him out. We have shut him out of schools. We have kicked him out of our schools, kicked him out of the government, kicked him out of our lives, kicked him out of everything, and so he is unable. He cannot intervene. God cannot release his angels to come and minister for you because you kicked him out of your life.
Yeah, because this is a legal issue.
It is a legal issue.
Yes.
It is a legal issue. See, the Lord will never, I repeat, will never come into a place that he's not invited.
Amen. That's true.
He works both ways. The devil and the demons cannot come into a house or a life or a nation or whatever unless they're invited.
Right.
And the angels of God and the Lord himself cannot come into a life, into a city, into a nation, unless they're invited. He works both ways.
Yeah.
And so the only way for God to... Now, God could intervene in America. God could do that. God could come down and intervene, and the angels of God intervene, and good things start happening. But it's going to take people praying and people receiving, asking God to intervene, and see, that is the only way. I was in Honduras, Georgia, about 2 or 3 years ago, and the Lord gave me a vision. And I saw, what I saw there was open heavens. We had a service there. We saw an open heaven. I'm talking about miracles, signs, and wonders, the presence of God so thick in where we were, that people just started just falling all over the place like under the power of God. People started getting healed. People started being saved. People started being filled with the Holy Spirit. People started manifesting demons. All these things happening, nobody lifting a finger, nobody praying for nobody. It was the presence of God swooping through all that place.
Wow.
But the people had been praying, the people had been worshiping Yeshua, praising him, worshiping with all their might, and then all of a sudden it was like a cloud came down from heaven. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, I want to do this in America. I want to do this in America. I love America. But the only way it will happen is if God's people in America will intercede and pray. That is the only way it will happen.
You know, I think too, and I hate to say this, Augusto, but I think there's an awful lot of people who wear the label of Christianity, and that a lot of them do not realize the power of prayer.
Oh, absolutely. Most people have no idea the power there is in prayer, especially intercessory prayer.
Oh, yes.
You see, intercessory prayer has to do with standing in the gap.
Yes.
It's standing in the gap so God does not destroy a life, a person, a city, a family, a nation. That's what an intercessor is. And the Bible teaches that God looked to and fro around the earth to find someone that would stand in the gap, and he found none. Right now, God is looking throughout America for people to stand in the gap so he does not destroy, or he does not allow the powers of darkness that are about to ravage and destroy this nation.
Yes.
God is looking for intercessors that would stand in the gap so he can send his angels from heaven and protect a life, protect a home, a family, protect a city, protect a nation. You see?
Yes.
That is why this nation has not been destroyed so far. Because there have been people here, there have been Christians here that have been standing in the gap, and they have been praying. They have been praying for this nation for many, many years.
Yes.
Back in the 50s, I think it was in the 40s or 50s, Georgiana, there was a very powerful guru, Indian guru, that had the spirit of Antichrist on him. I read this some years ago. And they brought him to America.
Mm-hmm.
They brought him to America because they know that America is the place, you know, that everything is going to start.
Yeah.
But you know what happened when this Hindu boy, this Hindu young man was brought to America? And I read his testimony. He said that demon could not manifest in him because the power of the prayers of the Christians here in America was too strong.
Wow.
And he could not manifest yet.
Not yet.
That America was not ready yet because there were too many praying Christians in here.
Mm.
Now, that was back in the 50s. You know, when they were still praying in the school, when abortion was not the law of the land.
Yes.
When the gays and homosexual were still not the law of the land. But you see, all that has changed, and it's changing.
Oh, yes.
And what has happened is all these things have opened the floodgates of filth and demonic powers to enter this land. And so what has happened is the hedge of protection that God had around this nation is gone. It's gone.
Yes.
And it's not as simple as people think it is. And you will hear this all the time, Georgiana. Well, God is mad at America. He's angry at America, and he's sending judgment to destroy. It's not that as much as it is that the Lord has been kicked out.
That's right.
The Lord has been kicked out of America.
You're right. Yes.
So he no longer has any authority because he's not invited. He's been kicked out. He's been kicked out of government, kicked out of our schools, kicked out of everywhere.
Yes.
And so he cannot intervene. And he will not intervene.
Well,
unless people pray and want him, ask him back and pray and repent and say, Lord, please come now and intercede and stand in the gap. And this is a concept that people don't understand.
Boy, are you ever right. Yes.
So, you know, it's not as much as God standing in heaven with a big hammer and say, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to kill you. It's not that as much as the Lord loves this nation. He hates the sin. He hates the sin of this country. He hates the abortions. He hates the homosexuality. But he loves the people because that is the nature of God. He loves the people. He hates the sin, but he loves the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we don't get this theology right, we can become just like Jonah, you know? Remember the book of Jonah?
Yes.
Jonah was, God sent Jonah to preach to Nineveh.
Yes.
He sent Jonah to preach to Nineveh, and he said, tell them to repent, Jonah, because destruction is coming their way, because they have become very wicked. And Jonah preached, you know, of course, after being spit by a big fish, and a big fish swallowed him, and finally he was persuaded, you know, to go obey God. And when he did, when he preached, you know, repent or Nineveh will be destroyed, the people repented. The people repented.
Yeah.
When they heard that Nineveh was going to be destroyed in 40 days. And but after Nineveh repented, all the way from the king all the way down, Jonah, he was miserable because he wanted Nineveh destroyed. He wanted Nineveh wiped out. He wasn't happy to see God relent and forgive the people and heal the land.
Yeah.
He didn't want to see that. He wanted to see Nineveh destroyed. And, you know, I call that the spirit of Jonah. And many preachers have to be careful not to get the spirit of Jonah.
Right.
Not to get the spirit of Jonah where, you know, we hate so much that we want to see the country destroyed instead of standing in the gap and asking God for mercy.
Yes, and asking God to cleanse this nation
yes.
of the evil.
Exactly.
Yes.
So if we're not careful, we can get the spirit of Jonah, you know,
yeah.
where we just stand here and say, okay, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready to watch you destroy this nation. You know, Jonah found it a very nice place, a very nice niche there, you know,
yeah.
with a little nice shadow there to watch the spectacle.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
He was ready. I mean, he probably had a nice meal and everything, ready to watch Nineveh burn. Mm. Burn, baby, burn.
Yeah.
And God rebuked him. Mm. And you know what God told him, Georgiana?
What?
He said, Nineveh. He said, Jonah, don't you love this plant you have over your head? Because, you know, he withered it. He dried it.
Yeah.
He dried the plant that Jonah had over his head, so he didn't have any shadow anymore, and the sun started to burn him. And he was very upset. And the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, Jonah, why are you so upset? And then he told him, he said, because this little plant that was covering me and had a shadow over me, it withered away, and an insect came, and it withered away, and now I am exposed to the sun, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, don't you think you love this plant so much and you're so concerned about this little plant that was providing some shade for you? You're so concerned about that plant and you're so upset about it. He says, but you care nothing about the thousands of people in Nineveh that could have been killed.
Yeah.
And the cattle and all life there in that city. You care nothing about it. You're more concerned with this little plant over your head dying out than all those lives that could have died. So he taught Jonah a lesson right there. Because he had no concern for the people of Nineveh. No concern whatsoever. And I think about that many times. And now this was the God of the Old Testament, Georgiana. This was Yahweh, the God of the Old Testament.
Oh my, yes. Yes.
You know, and so, you know, and I know that there's a lot of sin in this country. I hate what is happening with the babies being aborted. It makes me sick. It turns my stomach. I grieve for that. I grieve when I see the homosexuals and gays being, you know, getting married. I grieve when I see all the laws that are being passed, you know, and the sinfulness and all the pornography and all the corruption and the child transits, you know, being used for all kinds of ungodly things. It grieves my spirit. I am sick of my stomach.
Me too.
But we have to be careful that we don't get the spirit of Jonah. Instead of doing that, we need to allow God to use us to stand in the gap and intercede and groan and moan for this nation, that at least there may, it might not be totally wiped out by this destruction that is approaching.
Yes.
And that God will preserve his people. And that God will preserve cities. Because God loves these people. God really does. If God loved the people of Nineveh, Georgian, and that was before Jesus came and paid the price and became sin for us.
Right.
And, you know, in right there on the cross, God poured on him all wrath, every last drop of wrath. He poured it upon Yeshua for the price of sin so that we could have the righteousness of God, so that we did not have to receive that wrath from God.
Yes.
Because God has not appointed us to wrath, but
right.
to receive salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord.
That's right.
You see? And so, if that happened back then and Jesus had not even come yet, the Messiah had not come yet, can you imagine now how much more God, I mean, now with that being done, with Jesus receiving in his own body the payment of all the for all the sin and for all the curses and everything in his own body. Can you imagine? God loves people. And he really wants to find somebody that will stand in the gap. He really does. But if the people do not understand this, Georgian, they will not fight. They will not pray. They will not intercede. And you know what? The powers of darkness, the powers of hell will come in and swoop down here and destroy everything.
You know, you see, a lot of that too, Augusto, comes from the pulpit to those sitting in the pews, where you're supposed to be passive. You know, they preach a very passive,
yep.
tolerant,
it's
tolerate anything kind of Christianity. And that is not the kind of Christianity that's biblical.
Because, you see, they submit to everything because they believe it is from God. It's God's
yeah.
will.
Yeah.
It's God's sovereignty. His sovereignty is God's will. I mean, which you have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do not resist what really is coming from the devil and from evil man.
Oh, yeah.
It's not coming from our Lord, from our Father. It's coming from the devil and from evil, corrupt men that have their conscience seared, from the Illuminati, from all these men that are corrupted, and they're greedy and they want to destroy the humanity. They want to destroy you and me.
Yeah.
It's not the Lord. It's not God destroying. And so people accept it. They embrace it. And many people, many Christians start becoming bitter towards God.
Oh, yes. I know.
It's God's fault. It is all his fault. He's allowing it, you see. So they're not actively. A lot of Christians are not actively fighting
yes.
against disease, against poverty, against sickness, depression.
Yeah.
All these things, destruction, all these things, they believe it is from God. Mm. Depression. Do you know, Georgian, that depression is not from God? Depression is demonic, totally demonic.
Well, my goodness, Augusto. People look at some of the foods that people eat. You know, their bodies are depleted of things they need in order to have a healthy, functioning brain. And then they fall into depressive states. You know, there can be that side of it too.
Yep.
You know, but when people go to the grocery store, you know, they don't. Many people don't read the
sure.
labels on food.
Sure. There is a percentage, you know, of depression that comes from the wrong diet.
Yes.
No exercise.
Yeah.
Lack of sleep, you know, but it's very small, Georgian. I mean, we're talking less than 5%. Less than 5% of people that have depression is from those things. 95% of the depression that people suffer is spiritual.
Uh-huh, yes.
It is spiritual, and they need to understand that. And but you see, most of these people have been taught that, you know, that when God does all these things, He's trying to teach them something. I mean, he's trying to teach them a lesson, make them better, teach them patience or some other thing. And they don't realize that it's not that at all. God does not teach his children lessons by killing them or putting a disease, a horrible disease on them or you know, destroying their homes and their marriage. And that's not how God teaches lessons to his children.
Well, you know, Augusto, how can someone learn, I mean, someone that's writhing in horrible pain, I mean severe pain,
sure,
day and night, how can anyone believe that God is trying to get their attention with that kind of thing?
Well, you'd be surprised how many people think like that, Georgiana.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and they believe it is God, and they say, Lord, I submit to your will, you know, and I don't resist your will. If this is your will for me, you know, I accept it. I believe that it's going to make me a better witness, you know. And some people are even proud of that.
I know.
The fact that their death maybe help to lead one person to the Lord, you know. And I'm not talking about martyrdom when Christians are killed.
Right.
I'm talking about God putting horrible diseases on people that they believe God put it on them because to teach them a lesson, you know, because they did something bad.
Right.
And the Bible does not teach that at all. The Bible teaches in the book of Romans, chapter 12, you know, that that God is a good father, and that as a good father, he teaches his children through discipline and through chastisement. But that is never meant in a way as killing them or taking their child or putting a horrible disease as cancer or AIDS or things like that. That is not how God disciplines a child of his or chastises them. God has other ways of doing that.
Yes.
And because if that was so, Georgiana, then everything that Jesus said is a lie. And that would make Jesus a liar, and so that would make the whole gospel a lie, and we would have to stop preaching.
Yeah.
Because if Jesus said, I came to give life and to give life abundantly.
Yeah, that's right.
And he said the devil, he's the one that comes to kill, destroy, and steal.
Yeah.
He's the one, whenever, you know, Georgiana, whenever, anytime Jesus healed anybody, remember when he healed the woman that had an issue of blood for 15 years?
Yeah.
He says the devil has put this disease on her for 15 years. Jesus knew. He discerned correctly who was the author of all this horrible things.
Yeah.
He knew who was causing these things. It was not God. It was not the Heavenly Father that he represented. It was the devil and the evil man. Whenever these evil men that killed Jesus and nailed him to the cross, he says, you are of your father, the devil. You see?
Yeah.
And you do his works. You do his deeds. So, see, Jesus always knew where to put the blame, but a lot of Christians don't. They put the blame on God. Well, it's God did it. He allowed it. It's God's will. So the devil is scot-free in all of this.
Well, see, that's the thing.
He's scot-free.
Augusto, if that is true, if God allows all that, then God allows children to be sodomized and raped and mutilated. See, we can't have it one way without the other.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
But you see, that word allows, that is why I don't like that word.
Yeah.
I don't like that word because people think, see, when you say God allows it, this is what people are thinking. Well, God is sitting in heaven and on his throne, and, you know, he sees certain things happening, going on, and he says, I allow that. And I allow that other thing. And I allow that child to be killed by a car. And I allow that young man to be killed by cancer. And I allow that. See, and that's not what that means. So I don't even like to use the word allows.
See, I agree with that. You know, it's like what you were saying a little earlier about, you know, people in pain and disease. You know, that God allows that.
It's not that at all. When you know, the only possible way that word allows could be used is the fact that God is unable to intervene. I don't even like to use the word allowed.
Yeah.
I don't use it as a matter of fact. I do not use that anymore because people get wrong concepts. They get the wrong idea of what it means. So I don't use it.
Well, see, you know, they earlier when we were talking, you said that, you know, that a lot of people believe that, you know, they have pain and disease because God is trying to talk to them or get through to them or teach them something, and that God allows this, blah, 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 you know. And if that were true, it would also be true that God, quote, end of quote, allows children to be raped, sodomized,
of course,
sold, bought and sold as sex slaves. That, you know, that's what I was trying to say earlier.
And that
earlier.
Is totally ridiculous. I
mean, it's ridiculous.
How could God allow and permit if you know, as if he's standing in heaven watching all of these horrible things, and he's saying,
yeah,
yes, I allow that.
Yeah, it's entertainment, you know.
No, that's not true at all.
Yeah.
These things happen because, first of all, we live in a fallen world, and
there's
a lot of evil men out there.
Yes.
God is not in heaven controlling everything that happens.
But people believe.
Everything that happens is not God's will. Not everything that happens is God's will. People have to get this through their heads. Not everything that happens on earth is God's sovereign will. A lot of it is not his will.
I agree with you there.
It is not his will. And, you know, I know a lot of people may get mad at this, but this is the truth. Once you get this into your system, it will change your life. You will not look at God as some evil ogre up there with a hammer and, you know, wanting to kill and destroy people. And you will understand that your real enemy, who your real enemy is.
Right, right.
The real enemy is called Satan, the devil.
Right.
And he came, Jesus said he came to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes.
So anytime we see destruction, Georgia, this is what I'm trying to say, to tell the people. Every time we see destruction, every time we see diseases, and every time we see these horrible things happening, we cannot, people, you have to get it out of your head. It is not God doing this, or it's not God standing in heaven allowing this to happen. It's just the way things are happening on earth, because we live in a fallen world. This system in this world is a kingdom of Satan.
Right.
Jesus said it, my kingdom is not of this world.
Right.
My kingdom is not of this world. And so the only thing, the only ones that carry the kingdom of God in this world is us, the Christians.
Yes.
Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. When we receive Jesus Christ in our hearts and we receive his Holy Spirit and we're washed in his blood, we carry the kingdom within us.
Yeah.
But everything else in this system of things that we live in this world, that we see in this world, the government and all these things going on, this is not God at all. It has nothing to do with God. This is all demonic. This is a demonic system, and it's a demonic world. And we live in a falling, sinful world.
Well,
that is controlled and manipulated by the powers of hell, by the powers of darkness.
Well, you know, Augusto, when you look at the satanic circle, this globe is the circle. And every evil, wicked, filthy thing that goes on happens on this planet. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, you see, as far as we are concerned, as far as Christians, we need to wake up and understand these truths. And so we can start praying, because if people don't pray, if people don't fight this thing, guess what? It's going to destroy us. It's going to destroy everything we love, everything we have, and everything we ever dreamed about. It's going to destroy it.
Okay, Augusto, is God watching what people do?
Absolutely.
And how they decide, and what, you know, if they're vested in.
Absolutely.
You know, praying.
Absolutely.
Standing up.
What it takes, Georgiana, is for people, And it has to be individual. We are individuals, each of us.
Yes.
We have a free will, and we decide. It starts with each of us believing and saying, Lord, use me. I want to pray. I'm going to fight this thing that is not of you.
Right.
And that's why people need to understand God's will. If people do not understand God's will, then they will never be able to fight and pray accordingly. You see, if people, for example, if people have a dream, and they see in the dream their little boy or the little girl, okay, being killed by a car.
Yeah.
And if they don't discern that correctly, and they see that, and they immediately think, this is God's will, God is showing me this is going to happen, there's nothing I can do about it. See, that's where they make a big blunder, big mistake, and Satan comes and steals it, kills their child and steals it, and then they blame God for it.
Yeah, you're right.
See what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And so visions don't necessarily mean when people receive a vision or a dream, it does not mean that that is God's will.
That's right.
It just means this is what is going to happen if you don't do anything about it.
Yeah, it's a warning.
It's a warning. Mm-hmm. Now, the only thing that nobody can do anything about is Jesus is coming back for his bride.
Oh, yes.
Jesus is coming back for his bride, and we know because it's going to happen. We know that there's going to be a fight between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. We know there's going to be a battle, the battle of Armageddon, and that is the only way that God is going to be able to establish his kingdom on the earth. We know that's going to happen, and we can't pray against that because that's the only way that the Lord is going to be able to take back earth. So we know that, and we have to be in compliance with his will. We have to be in compliance with his will. And we know that the mark of the beast is going to come. We know that all these things are going to happen because that is, it's the final climax. It's the final confrontation, the final battle.
Yes.
So we understand those things. But what I'm talking about, I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about things that are happening right now in people's lives. Diseases, horrible, things, you know, the death, the lives of their children, the lives of young people being snuffed out, people that are dying, you know, of cancer, dying of AIDS, dying of horrible diseases, and they don't do anything about it. They don't fight it. They don't pray against it because they believe it is God's will.
Oh, gee. Yeah.
The atonement was paid for at the cross. The atonement, Georgian, contains salvation.
Yes.
It contains healing, and it contains blessing. All those things is God's will. God wants his people to be healed. God wants his people to be saved. God wants his people to be blessed in order to push the kingdom of God forward. Okay?
Yes.
This is the only way. And I'm not talking about prosperity gospel. I'm not talking about the blab it and grab it. I'm not talking about that. But there is an element in the scriptures that talk about God blessing his people.
Oh, yes.
Nobody can deny that. Just read your Bible. It is there. God wants to bless his people because if God's people are not blessed, for example, if Georgian Hughes is not blessed financially, she cannot do this.
That's right.
She cannot provide these programs and these teachings free of charge. And many of these ministries out there that give food to the hungry and clothe the naked and help people and cast out devils and pray for the sick and go to missions fields and build churches, these things cannot be done if there's no finances to do it with.
Oh, boy, that's true.
So I'm not talking about using finances to buy a Rolls Royce or a Mercedes or buy a million-dollar home. I'm not talking about that, okay?
That's right.
So people need to get this straight. But there is an element of truth in the fact that without finances, God's people ain't going to go nowhere. The gospel comes to a screeching halt. Okay? Nobody can do diddly squat.
That's right.
And so we need to understand this. And we need to understand what God's will is and what his will is not. And you know, A lot of people, you'd be surprised how many people believe God gives them cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
So that can be a good witness for God.
Oh, gee.
You'll be surprised, Georgia, how many people believe that God makes them poor where they can't even rub two quarters because that makes them humble.
Oh.
And that don't make nobody humble. I have been in places, Georgianne, that people are very poor, and I have seen proud people there.
Oh, yes.
I have seen proud, poor people.
Oh, I have too. I have too.
And I have seen humble, rich people.
Oh, yeah.
So that does not make a person, riches or poverty, that does not make a person rich, proud, or riches does not make people proud. And poverty does not make people humble.
That's right.
I have seen both. I have seen proud, poor people and humble poor people. And I have seen both proud, rich people and humble, proud, rich people. So what I'm trying to say is people need to get off of that wagon, okay, and understand the scriptures. Read the Bible. Read the scriptures, for they will make you wise.
Oh, yes.
And so, you know, this is what religion does to people. Religion puts people into bondage.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
See?
Yes.
And so God's will does not happen automatically. We have to pray God's will down to earth. See, people think that God's will happen automatically. It's the way it is. God's will be done. No, Jesus said when you pray, he taught his disciples, when you pray, pray like this. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes.
And what that teaches us is that we have to pray God's will down. It is not going to happen automatically. God has a will for every person's life. But does that mean that his will for our lives is going to happen automatically? I don't think so. You see? So we have to pray in accordance. We have to come into alignment with God's will for our lives. And that is how we make this thing happen. But God's will does not automatically happen. That doctrine of sovereignty, you know, where God's will automatically happens, it is a terrible thing because it opens the people up for all kinds of demonic attacks and all kinds of devils.
Oh, that's right.
It renders people useless.
Yes.
How can anybody resist God's will or fight God's will? But God created us. God created man, Georgia, with the ability to discern, to the ability to hate evil. We were programmed with the ability to hate evil. And if people start thinking that God is evil, they're going to hate God.
Oh, yes. Well, a lot of them do already.
If they're going to think that, if people start thinking that God is the author of all these evil things happening, they're going to hate God. And so we will be misrepresenting God to the people out there. You know, if people out there, Georgiana, people in the world, if they think God is the one that kills the little children, God is the one that rapes them, God is the one that allows all these things to happen, if they believe God is the one that puts diseases on people and takes them and kills them young because he needed somebody in heaven, you know, and he was punishing them, if they see God like this, the people are programmed to hate evil, and so they're going to hate God.
Yeah.
Because God put that inside of us. God put this thing in us, this innate feeling to love good and hate evil.
Right.
That doesn't have to be taught. Even as a little child, everybody loves good and hates evil.
Yeah.
I'm talking about evil deeds and good deeds. When a person sees a good deed, maybe today some people hate it, but it used to be when people loved it. When a good action took place, people loved it. When somebody helped an old lady cross the street, they liked it. They felt a witness in the spirit.
Yeah.
When somebody fed somebody that was hungry, they clothed the naked. Inside of them, they felt a witness to the spirit. That is the right thing to do. when they helped somebody that was beaten, that was, you know, abused and left for dead, and somebody went in there and clothed them and fed them and took care of them, like the Good Samaritan. People felt that was a good thing to do. You see?
Yes.
And so we were built with this desire inside of us to see good and love good and hate evil. And so when we are taught, when people are preached to and taught that God is the author of many of these evil things, it tends to reason they're going to hate God. So, you know, we're not supposed to hate people.
That's right.
Just evil in people.
Yes.
And so people need to rise up and start hating death, start hating disease, start hating sickness, start hating poverty, start hating all that is evil, the abortion, homosexuality, all these things. People need to rise up and hate all these things, not the people, but the evil, the action,
the
evil
act behind it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, but anyways, that's just a little bit of what I wanted to cover today. I know we've talked about this for a long while now, but
yeah.
But you know, now we're not finished yet, but this is a very important topic, Georgianne, that I believe that people need to understand, that people need to comprehend, because we are coming to a time when people are going to have to know how to pray, stand, and just trust in God.
Yes. That's right.
And so, you know, we need to have an understanding of a compassionate, good God, loving God, that loves his children. And
I agree.
There's a lot of bad theology out there.
Oh, yes, there sure is.
You know, and the people, I sense a lot of gloom and doom. I sense a lot of negativity, especially with all the things that are going on. And there's a lot of hatred that is rising up in people. And, you know, we as Christians cannot embrace that stuff.
That's right.
Because then we will cease being the light and the salt that Jesus called us to be. So people need to be careful, you know, and I understand. I have shared some messages in this program about the times that are coming upon us, but the Lord had to shake me and say, you know, you better start putting some faith in people.
Oh, yeah.
You better start putting some sound doctrine in people, or when these things start happening, they won't be able to stand.
That's true.
They won't be able to stand. So, you know, I would just like to pray, Georgianne, maybe in closing.
Please do.
For the people.
Please. Thank you.
Father, I just thank you for this great opportunity that you have given me to be in this show with Georgianne Hughes, Lord, the Bite Show, which is such a blessing, Father, to the body of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow this program, these words that I have shared, Lord, I've done the best I know how to try to share with the people, Lord, the listener, the importance of understanding the sovereignty of God. And, Father, misrepresenting you, Lord, and understanding that you are a good God, you are a good Father that loves the people, love his children. And, Father, I pray that the people, Lord, will have the courage and the boldness to rise up, Lord, and fight what is evil, Lord, and pray and stand in the gap, Lord, and be an intercessor, Lord. Lord, and just continue to resist the devil, Lord. Continue to resist Satan and the powers of darkness, Lord, that are, it seems like he's overwhelming, Lord. The world is, they're overwhelming this nation, Lord. But, Father, we are here on this earth, and you have left us here, Lord, for such a time as this. To resist the devil, you taught us to resist the devil, and he would flee from us. And so, Father, I pray that you give your children the strength, the courage, and the boldness to resist that disease that they're facing, to resist that situation that they are in, Lord, to pray, Lord, to pray and intercede, Lord, and to believe in a miracle, to believe in miracles, that you are a miracle-working God. And you are, Lord, you are a God of miracles, and you miracles have not ceased happening. You still are doing them, Lord. You still are doing them, and you want to do it in our lives today. And so I pray for Georgiann. Pray that you give her strength and healing in her body. I pray for healing in her body and strength and a blessing, Lord, financial blessing, that these programs continue to be offered free of charge, Lord, to whomsoever will. So I pray for all the listeners out there that you would touch them this day, and that you would bless them, and that you would heal them and restore them completely, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Give them hope for the future, Lord. Give them hope for the future, and give them discernment in the midst of this dark world that we are living right now. In the midst of all the bad news, in the midst of all the bad rumors and things, Lord, that are about to happen, I pray that you would put faith in your people, Lord, that you would give them courage and hope and trust in you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
And I add to that prayer, I ask, Father, in heaven, to watch over and provide for these families that are now homeless and jobless.
Yes.
I ask you, Father, the women that are alone, the women that are alone with children, please, Father, please, have mercy on them. Give them provision. Give them shelter, food. Please, Father, I'm begging you for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. This is Georgiann Hughes with Augusto Perez signing off. You can find Augusto's website. It is theappearance.com. And God bless you all mightily. May he bless you for listening. Please pray. That is the strongest thing you can do, is pray. Good night, everybody.